When Ronald Reagan was running for governor of California, a woman confronted him at his car one day, berated him pretty severely. She finished up with saying, "I wouldn't vote for you if you were St. Peter." He smiled and he replied, "That's no problem at all, ma'am. If I were St. Peter, you wouldn't be living in my district." Well, I find myself these days thinking about St. Peter's district. Allow me just to ask you this morning, what comes to mind when you think of the kingdom of God? What's it going to be like? Is there anything on earth that can compare to the kingdom of heaven? Is there anything on earth we can compare the kingdom of God to? The Jewish people expected the kingdom of God to bring the present evil age to end. There may have been some imaginative ideas about what the kingdom of God was like. Perhaps some imagined it would be a high mountain that soared above the world, displaying the glory and the power and the majesty. Maybe some imagined the kingdom of God as it were a mighty river that carried its life to a faraway land. Perhaps their minds pictured the kingdom of God as a massive oak standing tall and providing shade and shelter. You know, we really don't know what they were thinking, but I am sure they were surprised when Jesus began to speak about the kingdom of God. He didn't compare the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to a political reform. He didn't compare the kingdom of God to a high mountain, a mighty river, or even a majestic oak. Well, how did Jesus describe the kingdom of God? Journey with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, John Mark is writing to Roman Gentiles, the non-Jewish Christians, who were persecuted by the Roman Empire. One of those who were persecuted was the spiritual mentor of Mark, the Apostle Peter. You see, Mark served as Peter's interpreter in Rome, and he wrote this gospel from Peter's remembrances of Jesus. Mark provides a fresh, exciting biographical portrait, if you will, of Jesus as he describes the kingdom of God. So let's look at Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 30. And he said, "What shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest, that may nest under its shade." That the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Can you just imagine for a moment the disciples surrounding Jesus asking, "What will the kingdom of heaven be like?" I can just picture Jesus as he seems to search for an illustration of the kingdom of God. And he says, it's like a mustard seed. The disciples' response had to have been like, "What did he say? Did he say a mustard seed? Really? I mean, I got a little mustard seed right here. Just that tiny little mustard seed? Hold on. Time out. Wait a second. I believe it was as shocking to the disciples as it is to our 21st century ears. This little tiny mustard seed. The only kind of mustard most of us are really familiar with is the kind that we put on our hot dog. Or if you grew up liking turnip greens, God bless you, you might have sprinkled a few mustard seeds in there with them as well. That humble little mustard seed produced a plant that had many uses in the human community as well. The seeds were crushed and used for a condiment, a pungent flavor to enhance that bland diet of the people. Those little tiny seeds were used even in medicine. They were crushed and mixed with other things to make antidotes for things like snake bites or scorpions or even spider bites. But when that tiny little mustard seed is planted in good soil, it germinates and produces a very large shrub-like plant, and that eventually grows to resemble a tree. Some mustard plants have been known to grow even as tall as 15 feet high. 15 feet from the little tiny mustard seed. Something so small with such humble beginnings can become something that truly is amazing to behold. I mean, just consider the humble beginnings of the Lord Jesus Christ, who really is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. Think about it in this way. He was born in that little tiny town of Bethlehem in abject poverty. He was raised in Nazareth. Those who lived there were considered to be wicked and worldly by the Jews. He had no earthly connections. He had no money. He had no support from the religious leaders of the day as well. Even his own family members, if you read in the previous chapter, in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, what you'll find is this: then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much eat as eat bread. But when the people heard about it, his own people, his own family heard about this, they went out to lay a hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. He has went bonkers. And the scribes who came down to Jerusalem said that he was Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he's cast out demons. His own family rejected him. His own people thought that he was crazy. He was despised and rejected by men. His followers were, for the most part, the dregs of society. The Romans eventually nailed him to a cross, buried him in a tomb. But friends, that little seed gave way to something very dramatic. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his followers preached his resurrection. But most people ignored the message, considering them fools for following a dead man. But watch what happens in our text in Mark chapter 4. I want you to see what happens in Jesus' story of the mighty mustard seed as he continues to say. Jesus said that this mighty mustard seed, this mustard seed grows to a plant. And when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs. And shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. In Israel, it's not unusual to see birds landing on the branches of a mustard plant. Some even build their nest inside of that plant. The reference to the birds nesting in its shade is actually taken from Ezekiel 17, where you have the messianic prophecy that says, under the rule of the Messiah, nations will come to salvation. And the nations are pictured as the birds coming to lodge in the tree of blessing. So that's borrowed right out of the imagery of Ezekiel 17. The birds are the representatives of the nations. In other words, friends, this is going to expand not only to Israel. Not only will Israel be a part of the coming kingdom, but the nations of the world will be part of it as well. You see, in the beginning, it was just Jesus and a few ragtag followers. His followers consisted of uneducated fishermen, a few revolutionaries, some women, and a trader. By the time of Pentecost, when it came around, there were still about 120 devoted followers of Jesus. But something really special on that day took place. An amazing thing took place on that day. Over 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. In a short time later, another 5,000 were saved at one time. The church began to grow at an astounding rate, and it wasn't many days until that church in Jerusalem is said to have numbered over 50,000 people. That was just the beginning. We're told in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. If you go over to Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, you'll see there is coming a day in the future, a great multitude which no one could number, all the nations, all the tribes, all people, all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation belongs to our God. The prophet Isaiah, that prophetic prophet Isaiah, he wrote over there in chapter 40, "What shall we liken to the kingdom of God?" He's asking a very similar question, maybe the disciples thought on that day. "To whom will we compare God? The nations," he says, "is like a drop in a bucket." Hey, now you listen, you won't get that on Fox News and you're not going to get that on CNN. If you don't read your Bible, you're going to go crazy like people on those channels. And here's why I say that. If you don't read your Bible, you will actually begin to think that the nations of the world are more significant than what they really are. The nations of the world, Isaiah 40 says, are a drop in the bucket. Hey, China is a drop in the bucket. The United States of America is a drop in the bucket. Our nations are insufficient compared to the kingdom of God. Here's the great news. Other nations outside of the Jewish people will come. The Gentile nations, like us, will find shelter in his branches. What an astonishing thought. That these few guys who were being told on that day that nations of the world are going to be brought into all of this from a tiny little mustard seed. The story of the mighty mustard seed is a story of God's grace to all people. Out of the most insignificant beginnings, invisible to the human eyes, God creates his mighty kingdom, which embraces all the people in the world. The overwhelming theme of our text is God delights in bringing great things out of humble beginnings. God delights in bringing great things out of humble beginnings. Over the past few months, I've been getting up every morning to go for a walk. As I walk, I've been noticing the trees and plants and bushes as they begin to shake from their slumber out of their winter sleep. Bare limbs brought forth life. Bushes and shrubs that were prepared this past winter were now ready for the next season of growth as birds rested in their branches. What looked like a dormant landscape around my home and my neighborhood actually concealed a deeper cycle of life that is bringing forth life from the earth, dazzling me with beauty, wonder, and joy. Friend, listen, I wonder if God is going to do that in your life this season. I thank God for the day as a 12-year-old boy that I came under the shelter of his branches. I bless the day when the poultice of grace was applied to the deadly wound of my sin and I was healed. Just as the birds in this story found great blessing under the branches of the mustard plant, those who come to Jesus find more than we can ever imagine. Please hear me this morning. In Christ, we find a shelter from the storms of life. Jot down Psalm 27, verse 5. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me on the high rock. How about that for sheltering place, my sweet friends? We rest in the weariness. We rest from the weariness of sin and from religious works. Jesus said from his own lips, "Come unto me, all of you who weary and are burdened." Are you burdened today? Are you tired today? Jesus says, "I will give you rest." We can find shade from the fierce wrath of Almighty God. Out of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." We find food for our hungry soul out of Psalm 34, verse 8. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." We have a new and better life. He can take that bland life and move into it and make a life full of abounding blessings. As he tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you abundant life." You see, Jesus is the antidote for our terrible infection of sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, "You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him." He is the cure for the sting of death. From Jesus' own lips again, he says in John 11, verses 25 through 26, "I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives believes in me, and he will never die. Do you believe this?" It is only by faith you would, could, or can identify the Son of God in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Only faith can see Jesus as the sovereign Lord. If you are a child of God today, you certainly have had a humble mustard seed beginning. According to the Bible, you are a sinner. You are separated from God. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. The Bible says you were under a death sentence and you were headed to hell, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, God in his great grace looked beyond what you were to see what you could become through his grace, and he saved you. He planted in you Jesus, and now your life is bearing fruit for the glory of God. This morning, if you're watching and you've never experienced what I'm talking about today, I want you to know that God loves you. And I want you to know, if you bring your mustard seed to him today, that, dear friends, you can give it to him and you can watch him grow your life for his glory and out of his grace. And he will delight in bringing great things out of humble beginnings. Let's bow together in prayer. Today, friend, it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that you can know the kingdom of heaven has come to your soul right now. You can experience the joy of knowing God. Receive him now. Take him now. It's not about praying a perfect prayer. It's about praying to a perfect Jesus. I want to do everything I can to aid you in what's happening in your soul at this very moment. If you would like to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life today, would you simply just bow your head and express a prayer to him? "Lord Jesus, I know I've offended you by my sin, and I need your forgiveness. I believe you've died for me for my sins. You took my place on the cross. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and to forgive me, to cleanse me, to save me from all my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, dying for me, and saving me. I trust you and you alone to be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Did you believe on the Lord Jesus today? If you did, I want you to do something for me right now. First of all, I want you to know how proud I am of you. But I also want you to do something real bold. It's not for me. It's for you. It's not for Flat Creek. It's for you. I want you to text me. I want you to text me at 770-490-4725. And all you have to do is say four words: I prayed that prayer. And what we're going to do is celebrate. We're going to come alongside of you and just rejoice at what God is doing in your life. If you don't want to text, there's a link right here on this page. You can click that. You can fill it out. We want to come alongside and encourage you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so proud of you. Don't hesitate to reach out. We are waiting on your call. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the picture you've given us today of what the kingdom of heaven is like. A tiny mustard seed. Lord, we are grateful for how Jesus grew and how the salvation grew just beyond the Jews, but to us Gentiles as well. And Lord, we are grateful for the righteousness, the forgiveness, and the mercy and grace that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray as we go throughout our day today, we would tell others of the wonderful news that's taken place within our soul, that you died for us, that you were buried for us, and you came out of the grave for us. Lord, we love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.